Well, Jay, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little cooped up here. It's time for a move, I think. Get some space, some bigger yard, that kind of thing. What do you think?
You are really going to move? But that's a big deal. Like, you can't do
it
that
in
your
big deal.
You're scared to even leave your living room.
What seems like a big deal moving isn't when you use the right people. You can use these sell your own home situations where you're bartering with a guy in your driveway for 45 minutes and you end up selling for $3, or you can use a professional that makes moving actually simple. Who are we going to use?
But the problem is obviously Tom, but my worry is you're so far, you're in Orleans.
Tom will come to Orleans. He'll go to Russell. He'll go to Clarence Creek. He'll go to west of the Westy Village, wherever it is out there. He'll go anywhere for you and make that experience that you were talking about of nervous or a lot of work, make it seem like nothing. Bastion and Ferguson will literally smooth out the easiest move of your life.
Wow, even in Orleans, I just can't get over that.
Yeah, once you hit 10th line, 11th line, 14th line, he's still coming. He's driving in his brand new Dodge Caravan, carries his family around in, will sell your home. That's what I'm looking for, an easy ride with Bastion and Ferguson. Look them up. He's going to sell you quick and easy. I'm going to say it because this is what we've been arguing about, me, Steve, and Jay. Now my phone's ringing. What a start. Oh, Joe, is that correct?
That's fine. Yes, that's correct.
Joe.
No. Hold on. Joe, I knew
this was going to come up from you.
What? You don't correct people? I've been saying your name for 10 years.
If I care. Joe. If I care. Wow. I know.
I even overpronounce it Joe. So... I'm like, Joe. No accent aigu, Joe. Where are you?
People just ignore it. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. English people don't see the accent aigu. It's like, what is this? Is that a pen mark or what is it?
A typo or something.
I told you I was right. And so I'm a victory here. Joey Fournier, you're a top soccer coach in the city, okay? Like Steve and JR. I want to ask you a question. You're about to run a session, okay? There's a session going on before you. You start at 7 p.m. The session before you is going a bit long. How many minutes do you give them before you storm the field?
And get off the field? I love this question.
It depends, and I know you guys hate it depends, but it depends on if there's a history with that group before us. And also, most of the time, I know the coach because they'll be in the dome, and then it's our time now, so we've paid, so your time's up. But I try not to just storm the field like some people do.
Yeah. All right. Steve's
laughing.
Those people. Who are they?
Steve is throwing cones already in between, in the coach's pants, putting them in, organizing. Me too, to be honest. I'm just...
Where did your mic go, Jay? We can't hear you.
Did your mic go in your belly?
Yeah, I can hear him.
That's because you guys are on your teacher Chromebooks. This is a disaster.
All right, Jay, sort your mic out while I give our intro here.
No, but at Mark, in moment. Il faut que je fasse une introduction propre pour jouer avec un accent aigu fournier. C'est sport d'études, c'est pas comme English High School 101. Il faut qu'on fasse ça propre et je dis un grand bienvenue à Monsieur Fournier par moi. I ended it so bad. I started so well.
Yeah, you did.
It was a good start. It was a good start. And you
did it the French interrupted bark, which is very French. So
I love it. So for our English listeners, let me hit the English part. Joey Fournier, he's a program director, teacher, head coach at Louis Riel High School. Spent time observing with amazing teams, coaching, training, the Barcelona Academy. You were at, you were out there with the Espanol as well. You were with Liverpool Academy, Chelsea. You were with the Montreal Impact Academy. You've done your internships or observations there. He's a local scout here and recommends local players to the Club de Foot Montréal. Right? I even adjusted that name. That's the Impact for anyone who's been under a rock for the last little while. So welcome to Joey to our podcast.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. So
first things first, okay? You work at a school, a high school in Ottawa, that is a sport étude. So what that is, I want to clarify this because a lot of people may not know what it is. You're a teacher, you coach in a high school that is specifically for sports, correct? Like for the, I mean, to make it easy, but explain what your high school is.
Well, first of all, the school is, there are two parts to the school, if you will. It's like any regular high school, but then we have the sport étude program, where a kid who wants to, who's very passionate, who wants to develop further into their sports of choice, they can come and pick that sport.
Okay. Now, I have like 50,000 follow-up questions, but I'm going to start one at a time here. But
that's so a good idea.
Do you apply to get in and you have to pass a certain assessment?
Yes, we do. We do tryouts for the kids to get in. Wow. And then there are certain criteria that the admin want the kids to respect if they are part of the sports program as well.
Okay. So do you have to be in the Louis Riel district or can you come from out of district anywhere within like Ottawa?
Yeah, you can come from anywhere with our school board, with the CPO. We have every school has a specific program. So, for example, Gelalon has the IB, and then De La Salle has the arts program, and we're the sports program school for the city for that school board.
Does it cost any? It doesn't cost them like extra to get into the sportitude, or it does?
Yes, it does. They have to pay. They have to pay extra. We have coaches that come in from the outside, and we offer extra services to the kids that are part of the program.
Do you have like a certain number of people that you cap it off at? Like you get like 30 students or 20 students that get in the program per grade level or something?
Well, we haven't, we've never reached a point where we have to say, oh, we have too many kids. And a lot of parents and a lot of kids, that's one of the questions because everyone's so concerned they won't get in. And I always tell them, who am I to say I'm only going to take 20 kids? And then what happens if the 21st kid is Johnny David or Maradona, who knows, right? So, and then, oh, sorry, I have 20 kids in the program. I can't accept you. So yeah. Wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I'm just going to circle around to everyone. If anyone's looking at this video, we're all wearing Louis Riel gear that Joey was so nice to send us all. That's beautiful. And thank you for that. Just in case someone flipped on the thing and we're all wearing a scarf together. Like, it's like, yeah. So that's for the listener. So I want to hear just like, if you could run through semi quickly, but detailed, what's a normal, like, let's say I'm an actual athlete. Let's pretend I was an athlete at some point in my life. I arrive at Louis Riel and I'm in the Sportitude program. Okay. What do I do? What's my day from start?
Well, right now, the way we have it going, I mean, right now in a normal year, not COVID year,
Yeah.
The students go to their theory classes in the morning. So math, science, French, whatever they have in their schedule. And then there's one group that comes in right before lunch. Up to last March, it was the senior group. And then, so they train every day before lunch. The way we were doing it was they would have soccer, because it's called soccer snob, right?
Yeah.
So they would have soccer 3 times a week, and then they would have fitness 2 times a week. And then the after lunch would be the junior group, so grade 9 and 10. And then after school, we also have activities. So if you're in grade 7 and 8 and you want to be part of the academy, the sport études, they're the same, just different names. Because it's not part of it's not part of your school schedule like the high school kids. So you would train every day after school from 3 to 5. So same schedule, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, soccer, Tuesday, Thursday, fitness. And then everyone after school on Tuesday and Thursday would have something else. So let's say this week on today. So today's Tuesday, they would have sports psychology. And then Thursday, they would have yoga. And then next week, they would have sports nutrition and then video analysis. So every Tuesday and Thursday, the different groups come in for an hour. So we would have our high school kids first for the first hour. Then our grade 7 and 8 go to the weight room with our fitness coach. Then they come into the classroom to do the second part or into the yoga room or whichever.
Wow. Imagine going to a high school like that. Like, man, I was like, you'd have to drag me into like math and biology and all this garbage. And then these kids get to play. Unbelievable. Like that's.
You have to speak French, right? It's a French program.
Yes. Yes. Well, to be honest, Jay, like, of course you have to understand the courses in French, but we have so many kids that come from English speaking families. It's unbelievable. Like the amount of kids that we have coming from all across the city, from all the way to Plantagenet, Rockland. So we have kids that drive a long way to come to the school.
Yeah, that's crazy. So here's another like 75 part question, but I want to get to this part first. Like, why is there only one in Ottawa? Like,
There are two other schools that offer sports program, but the way they, yes, the two schools are French. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
French are always ahead of us. They're just, you know, there's something about the French that get things done.
Talk about that, because that's something in like Quebec too. Like, it's from Quebec. I noticed they just appreciate sport and like. They invest a lot in sport and it sort of bleeds over into Ottawa. Oh my God.
But I think it also reflects on, like, as Franco-Ontarians, we can't settle. Like, you know, like for English speaking people, there's so many high schools, so many options, big schools, but then we have to find solutions to give the same kind of services, if you will, to our students, to our kids. So I think that's why.
So when I was in high school 100 years ago, there was a high school league. Like, is there still a high school soccer league, and is it still completely shit and nobody cares about it? The sport of two schools, or has it improved in some way?
I think it's improved. Like, I've been teaching at Laurier for 15 years. So I've been in the Ottawa League for 15 years. And it's improved in the sense that you'll get coaches that are involved in soccer. So they want to make something good at their school. But then if that teacher disappears or moves to another school or retires, then it's not the program. It's the person. So
that's right. Yeah. That's where we got lucky a million years ago. We had, I don't know if you know Rob Chasson, rest in peace. Yeah. He was my high school coach. And that guy was just exactly like you described. We trained 5 days a week in high school. It was the greatest time of my life.
Yeah, when I started teaching, it wasn't a spot. It's a, let's be honest, it was a school where there were probably like 3 kids out of 700 that played soccer. Yeah. And we used to train at like 6 in the morning with the car lights on. So
yeah,
I no dome.
Yeah. Do you like, are we missing something, do you think, in your opinion? Even Steve or Jay, I know that Steve is big into American sports too. Like, are we missing something not caring or putting effort or money into high school sports? I mean, it seems like in the U.S., high school sports is such an elite level and it's fun and it's like school spirit. Like, does anyone have school spirit or does anyone care, or do they just go for school and then leave and then that's the end of that?
It's pretty close to that, unfortunately. But I think it comes with the culture, right? It's like when we try to understand why we're struggling as a country in soccer, and then we compare it to Argentina or England, or it comes in a package. Like, we can't just say, oh, let's be like the States and invest in high school sports. We have things that the States don't have. And then if we want to invest in high school sports, well, maybe we'll lose some of the things that are important for us as a country, you know, as a community.
Yeah.
So I got to jump in. I'm like, Mark, I've got 77 questions for you. I think this relates well. It's a great segue. I'm terrible at segues. So speaking of culture and the whole program, you've obviously created that culture. And maybe you can speak to and throw some of the names out. Like, I won't do it all for you. Obviously, Jonathan David's the poster child for Ottawa and for you and everything else. But like, the more I've been looking into your school and got to know you over the last little while, there's just so many names that keep coming back that are successful. And I wouldn't even just say soccer wise, Joe. I like, when I keep seeing these names, they're solid, well-rounded, good people. And I would say they're the opposite of what Mark said. Like, I feel like they do care. So I don't know what the question in there is. The question in there is maybe more just speak to your culture a little bit and maybe throw some of those names out there. Like, I don't want you to pinpoint someone and everybody hates you because you didn't say their name, but throw some names out about some people that have come out of there and been successful. Like, you've had a lot.
Yeah. Well, when we started the program in 2005, like, I had free reign. Yeah. And so I came in and I said, so what do you guys expect from me? And they're like, you decide, what do you want to do with the program? So the first couple of years, I'd say maybe the first 2 or 3 years, we were, you know, testing, and is this what we want to do? Is this? And then one of the first things I said is we need to create a culture, and to create a culture, you need values. Yeah. So I asked the kids what's important for them. So they had to put down, the kids that were there back then, what was important for them in terms of values and why it was important. And I figured that if we can get, back then we had maybe 30, 35 kids. If I can get 35 high school kids to tell me what's important, it will still resonate down the road, you know?
Yeah.
So every year the first meeting I have with the students, like, I had a meeting last week because we started a new quadmester, because now they're quadmesters. And the first thing I talk about is the values. And I say, and I tell the kids, everything we do on the field, off the field, when you're on the bus, when you're playing at home, in the streets, whatever, you are representing us. And these are the values that you need to represent, that you need to keep in mind. And then I also tell them that some of you at the end of the, of your, by the time you graduate, you might not be in the program anymore because this might not resonate with you anymore. And this is normal. So look around. Right now, there might be a lot of kids, but at the end, there won't be a lot of you left. Like, usually in grade 12, sorry, guys, I'm going like everywhere, but these are things. So when the kids graduate in grade 12, usually our graduating group is not big. I'd say like probably 10 kids per year. So out of 10 kids, we usually have, I'd say between 5 and 6 that end up playing university, college, or move on to the pros. Not every year, but that's about the average. So for me, that's a very good average for when we talk about soccer.
Yeah.
But it's more than that, because I have almost half of the kids that don't end up playing at the next level. So I want to make sure that they have the tools necessary to move on. So it's easy to recognize people like Johnny David and Zach Secunda, Yann-Alexandre Filion. We had along, but now I forget his name. So now I'm in trouble. But Gab Chinani, who's playing university, Abdou Samake. So we had a few kids that have played for pro academies, and then kids that play university and college. But then we have kids also. Like, I remember one kid, he was a really good player in high school, but then he lost interest in soccer, went to Queens, graduated in engineering. So for me, that's a success story as well, you know? And this is what people come up to us and, you know, we've heard that kids at Louis Riel don't do well at school. And I'm like, I beg to differ, you know?
Yeah.
Because people are so concerned, they say, oh, because they do so much sports, they probably lose out on their academics. Kids are doing arts, or instead of doing social sciences, or instead of doing regular gym. So for me, like stories like that, and another good example that I just found out about last year, there was a girl, amazing player, like her touch was phenomenal. Like, she could score free kicks. Like, she scored goals at OFSA for us. It was just unreal. Anyway, we knew when we had a free kick, she would score. She ended up not playing later on, but when she was in Spartak, she didn't like the physical part of training. Like, she would almost hide from the weight room. But now she does CrossFit and she's a police officer.
Oh my God.
So when they did the interview, like the police force called me to do the interview and they asked me to be honest. And I told them, I said, well, she was a great kid, very nice, blah, blah, blah. Great football, soccer player. But she didn't like to work hard in the weight room. And the guy just started laughing. And he's like, now she competes in CrossFit. Mm. So for me, that we left a legacy kind of, we left an impression on her. And now she kept training. So those are good stories.
That's an unbelievable answer. I'm like, you have me hanging on your words here right now. The values, I'm assuming, like, what you did with your kids and that, is it some sort of mission statement that you have now, or that's like goes throughout it, or like you revisit that same sort of mission statement every year? And then I'm going to ask a second part, which is the horrible thing to do, but like, what are negatives? Like, I can't see any negatives to this. You touched on that they don't get good grades. What are things you hear for people that they wouldn't go into it? Like, maybe good grades, burnout, all that kind of stuff. So two-part question.
Yeah.
We just ruined the show.
Yeah, so to answer your question about like the negative, so some people are concerned about the overtraining. Yeah. So this is a concern that we had like the first couple of years, because the kids were training with us 5 times a week, because back then we didn't do the after school program. And then they were training with their clubs 3, 4 plus games. So it was a lot. So it was tough for us to manage because we had kids coming in from all the clubs. But then the past 5 years, what we've done is we've become our own club. Like, we're not a recognized club by the OSA. We were when we were with Barca, but we're not a recognized club. But we can have games at the Dome on the weekend. So we train 5 times a week. Well, let's say 7 times a week included in the fees or in the program. So the question about burnout, for me, that's a choice. If you're going to burn out, it's because you're doing too much. Maybe you shouldn't be in our program, or maybe you shouldn't be with the club. And I don't tell the kids, oh, you need to quit your club. I've never done that to any kid in 15 years. I tell them it's your choice, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work for you. And the kids that have done it usually are injured a lot.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of roll back a bit to the, to how you graduate. Every year you may lose a couple of people or graduate only 10 at the end. At the end of every year, is there another assessment to see if they're good enough to continue in the program? Or do they just, once they're in, it's like they're in, if they want to stay in, they're in from 9 to 12?
Not necessarily. It's an ongoing assessment, right? It doesn't make sense to bring them in for another evaluation. We just assess them on what we see every day. And I mean, we're not just going to tell a kid at the end of the year, oh, you're not in next year. Well, like, there will be there will be discussions. We'll tell him what he needs or she needs to improve, need to work on this, be more committed, whatever. So,
I'm going to jump back to the club part now. Have you ever had any pushback or clubs come at you angry? Like, you can't train him. We have a tournament this weekend. He's got to sit out a gym class, you know, because people are crazy. So do you get that stuff?
Not anymore, but it used to happen. Like, I'd get emails from parents, you know, oh, she needs to rest. Big tournament this weekend. Gonna win the World Cup. So let's go.
I love it. Yeah, that's great. This is like fascinating to me. I don't see why this isn't everywhere.
I want to jump on his answer. Then Jay just raised his hand politely, but I'm cutting him off because je parle en français, je fais comme des français. But I love the answer of if they burn out, it is on them. I think that's a, I don't know if I want to call it, like, that's a really good point. You know, like for me, I know, like, I'd be like Mark, how he said it. If I was in high school and this was my program, I wouldn't burn out because I'd be so desperate to get out of my math class and do whatever Joey wants me to do in math so I could get to soccer. I'd be like so into it. So I could see myself not burning out. And then you've already spoken to the ones who maybe grow out of the program. Well, they'll find that out. So I think when they start to probably get to burnout, that tells them like, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe I only like soccer to this extent, or I don't want to push it. Like, that's like, I would be just dying to get to that dome, man.
Yeah. That's how I feel every day.
That's amazing. You can see that. That passion comes through, man. Like, that's amazing.
Imagine having, like, I used to run from math class to gym class just to play wiffle ball. Like, imagine doing soccer every day. Like, that's unreal. So with the program,
Mark, you got to let Jay go. We keep cutting him off.
Are you sure? Can we hear him? That's serious. No, he's completely silent now. No, you're like Charlie Chaplin. You know what you are? You're a phone battery and you're at one. That's where you're at right now. So, I'm gonna take over then for this portion of the show here.
With Jay, I was looking forward to this. Jay, come on.
I know Jay's a teacher. This is perfect for him.
Yeah.
Mark.
The program with the added bonuses. Are you doing things beyond the high school league? Like, do you go out of town for tournaments, or do you go to the States, or is there like all these extracurriculars like outside of school and stuff?
So first of all, we were running a league last year. It was a under 23 kind of league, but some teams had older players. Let's be clear about that. So that was for our U19 team, so our senior boys team. That was a great experience. I mean, to play against some really good players from the city. So that's an example. Another thing is we were organizing trips to Barcelona, but now we'll see where that goes. But it's funny that you talk about this, because I was thinking about this today, that I need to put something together for the kids, because that was a highlight for them. Yeah. I mean, they would either participate in the Barca Academy World Cup or in the MIC tournament, which is like amazing. Like, they play against Man U. I don't know. You guys know Man U? They're like somewhere in England.
Yeah.
So they were, it was just an amazing experience. Did they win the tournament? No, but it was an amazing experience.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm going to jump on that point then. With your training, I know a lot of club training, a lot of this whole focus now is on individual development. Are you mainly focused on developing a soccer player, or do you also do a lot of team training and that kind of thing, or is it a blend of both? What's your program like in terms of development?
The first thing I'm going to say is that I don't develop a player, I develop a person. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's the main focus.
Yeah.
And then we don't do much individual training, isolated training. Almost everything is game-based. From something called the Rondo, might have heard of that. Yeah. All the way to positional game and then small-sided games. So, I mean, our sessions are inspired by the Barca methodology. And then I've also started doing a course with Albert Puig. I don't know if you guys know him. He's a former Barcelona technical director, like the head of the La Masia.
Yep.
So he trained, you know, Ansu Fati and all the young kids that are coming up now. And so this guy is just unbelievable. So I've started integrating that into our sessions.
Speaking of the development situation in this academy, I mean, it's on your LinkedIn, so I'm sure this isn't a secret, but you are a local scout for the Club de Foot Montréal, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So like, what ages are you going right from like U0 to senior team kind of thing? Like, are you recommending everybody, like anyone you see?
Yes. So it's for any age group, but we're focusing mostly on the pre-academy kids. I mean, because you know, the academy teams are usually all set. It's like kind of like the example I gave you, unless there's the next Messi that comes in. But it's mostly the younger kids. But by all means, I mean, if there's a kid that arrives, you know, a new kid in Ottawa and he's 21 years old, I'm not going to say, oh, sorry, I only look at younger kids. So we're not going to take you. Go to TFC, you know.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
I won't be doing that job for very long.
Yeah, yeah. See, I know I might have opened up a can of worms. So you're gonna get emails like every parent in Ottawa is gonna be like, "My kid is so good."
It's funny when I added this to my LinkedIn, I started getting requests by people from everywhere around the world.
Yeah.
So I social media. I'll leave it at that for now.
Yeah. I love that. I love it. It's like as soon as something that like the carrot dangles, you become the most popular human being on the face of the earth. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to ask, see if Jay or Steve has anything else to like rip about that. But like that to me is amazing. And I think like what you're doing, and again, we've heard it a couple times with top coaches, I find the main theme that we always hear is person first, develop a human, the human potential coming out, and then player second. And that's something that always resonates with me. And it's a great reminder to bring to my U9s when I go in a couple of weeks. Like, I want these kids to be leaders, great people. And if a great soccer player churns out of it, that's great. You know, and I really like that you keep bringing that up. That's a sign of a true coach is developing a person. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Mark.
Why don't we let Jay see if he can jump in
or
not?
Hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ask him, Jay. Go.
But can Mark? If they can't hear me, then it's not going to record.
You're back.
Scream though. Scream.
Are you kidding me?
No, you're back.
Is that low?
No, it's fine.
It's good.
Okay. My question is like 500 minutes ago, but I mean, it's crazy, but I was going to ask about all the, you know, the loads or something, how you guys manage those, because like, you know, it's just begging for kids to get injured, but you already went through that. For me, because you're a teacher and I'm a teacher as well, you can either go with me and we can be friends forever and I'll call you Joe A in front of everybody to like right that wrong, or I'll never talk to you again if you cross me on this question. But don't you like, I came on the show early days and we're talking about coaching, and I got some stick for this, but I still stay with it. The notion of teachers make better coaches, or coaches who have a teaching methodology and use pedagogy, teaching pedagogy, or better coaches. Do you think you can learn to be a good coach? Mm-hmm. You probably worked with a bunch of coaches. Do you think you can learn to be a good coach if you don't have any of the characteristics of a teacher or a coach?
I think it will be very hard. But I remember when Audra was on the show and she talked about different people connecting with different players. And I think that's important, a very important point. But when we look in general, how kids interact, how communicate, I think there's a certain type of personality that works better with kids in general, especially kids that do sports. So I'm not saying that we need to put aside the other kids. it's on us to find a solution to work with every kid on our team. We can't, oh, just because I'm connecting, just because this kid is like me. Oh my God, this kid likes the same thing as me. That would be like, I can't imagine. Well, actually I can't imagine someone doing that, but yeah, Jay, I agree that it's hard to learn. It's hard to grow into.
And that's my problem with the city, and it's in every city and probably in North America, is like, we have so many teams. That means we need so many coaches. But the problem is, and it's unfortunate, there's just not that many coaches that have the qualities to be able to teach the game properly. You know what I mean? Like,
and teach the person, probably, to Joe's point about
exactly,
teaching,
you know, yeah.
The teaching and coaching is an art form in that respect.
And I think the problem here in Canada, in Ottawa, is that it's twofold, right? It's, at least when you go to England, people know football. So if they're not good with people, at least they know football like to a T. But here, like, some people don't know football, and then they don't do well with people. So it's like, and two negatives don't make a positive in this.
In this case, I love that.
In this case.
Yeah. Yeah. But then people go, oh, but they're volunteering. They're so being so nice. They're just helping. Yeah. No, I'm not volunteering to teach curling because I'm not interested. I don't like, I can't do it. You know what I mean? So why you're not a hero for hurting people because you're not teaching the proper way. You know what I mean? Like you're an asshole. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think also, Jay, we need to be careful and not say that teachers, because I think you corrected yourself. It's not necessarily teachers that make good coaches. It's people that have a good pedagogy. Sorry.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That was an important distinction for sure.
I actually want to know, does pedagogy play for Barca's youth system? Or like when they first said it, I was like, who is it? The Ansu Fati's project or something? Like,
plays left back.
Yeah. Joe, I need to like go real specific. You sent me a text or something like a few months ago and I never posted it or whatever. There's one girl who came through your program and she went to the States and she was on like an all-decade team. Who was that? I feel guilty that I didn't mention her. I think that's incredible.
Ariel Kabangu.
That's it.
What a striker.
Yeah. Like that's like an all
unbelievable.
An all decade team. Like that's
wow. Crazy. Yeah. Speaking of supreme athletes, I'm gonna transition out of here to a couple quicker ones here. Who do you think would be better at pole vault, Steve or Jay?
I think Steve. Because he looks taller and slimmer on camera.
Yeah. No, he. Yeah.
When you go to the movies, you get your popcorn. Do you go to that station and add that extra butter, or do you just go past it?
I let the kids decide, and whatever they get, I just eat it all.
Yeah. That's such a good point because Mark is a child. Only a child comes up with this question.
Do you also dump your Skittles in the popcorn?
So never. Never.
No.
Never.
Grow up. That can't be never. A thing. That can't be.
Never.
Joey, you're a manager of Barca. Do you wear a suit or a tracksuit?
Oh, I love this. Joey.
If I'm at Barca, this is like the best team in the world. So I got to look the part. I'm wearing a suit all day, every day. With my Barca tie.
Yeah, that's right. What's worse if someone brings into the teacher's lunchroom a hard-boiled egg or leftover fish?
Oh my God, it's so funny that you bring this up. Oh, I had a story today. But anyway, I'd say fish is probably worse.
Yeah.
It just lingers. It lingers forever.
But a hard-boiled egg at the wrong time will knock you off your feet.
Listen to this. I got a quick fish story. Prince Edward Island. The day before we leave, I take my son fishing. It's like the best father-son moment ever. Like a made-for-TV movie came out about the moment. Get up the next morning, 6 a.m. to drive like 12 hours. I left a fish in the trunk. Oh. Overnight. So now I've got three kids, my wife, a stupid Dodge Caravan minivan driving like 12, 16 hours back home. Trying to get fish smell. Oh God! Oh,
it's not even. God. It's not even a trunk. It's not even a trunk. It's in the van.
Yeah,
oh, it's, yeah, yeah. It's open.
There's there's no barrier.
No,
that's nasty.
You know, so shut the trunk.
I'm gonna stay on the teacher theme here. In your 15 plus or 13 plus years of teaching, maybe more, have ever one time had your lunch stolen from the teacher's room from another teacher?
Never. I keep my lunch and I never put my lunch in the fridge. My lunch is always with me because I always eat. I'm always eating. There's a break, I'm eating. There's a break, I'm eating. So I can't leave my lunch alone. So we're best pals.
Go back to you and your suit. You've taken over Barcelona today. You have to make a decision. You have one player you can pick in the entire world to bring to Barca right now. Who do you pick?
Wow. I just keep the goat.
You wouldn't take another player in the world to plunk in Barca?
So are you saying that I already have this roster? I can add a player?
Your team is as is, and you've just been told you can pick one player in the world. And you have 5 seconds or your house blows up.
Okay. I'm thinking Alfonso Davies would fit the Barca style a lot.
Wow.
Very well. And he's still young, so we would have many years with him.
That's a good answer. Wow. I had an answer, and now I'm reconsidering.
Yeah, Steve wanted Van Dijk right away.
I did.
I would have picked Jonathan David. No.
Oh, you're
maybe we'll get him on an interview now that I picked him.
All right, last question here. How many goals does Barcelona have to be down for you to turn off the TV? That's the right answer.
Never. Remontada, good. Man.
That was the end. That was semi-trick question, but I knew somebody of your ilk wouldn't answer it incorrectly. So that's a wrap with me. Again, Joe, like, if anyone wants to bring their kid to the greatest high school, great coach, a real human being, look into that. I don't know if I should be promoting this. You're probably like, no, we don't want any more kids. But like, yeah, no, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And like Steve said, your name pops up whenever you talk to people. You're like, this kid is so good. And then they're like, yeah, Joe Fournier. It's like, you're doing amazing things in Ottawa, man. Like, keep it up. Keep inspiring these kids. And we appreciate you coming in, pal.
Joey, the worst part for you is now – you're going to have me applying for your program as a 43-year-old. I'm also going to get you on LinkedIn and try and get a tryout with Club Foot Montreal. Like, I want to do all these things, but I'm like so past it. But I'm going to start training now.
Steve, nope. That's the only reason I'm teaching at Louis Riel. They wouldn't accept me as a student.
That's amazing. Joe, I have to echo all the same things, man. I want to make fun of you, but I can't. You've always been so open. I remember meeting with you one day on like a PD day, and you're like coaching, but you still made the time to meet with me because I just wanted to know about Sportitude. I'm a teacher. I wanted to do something like that. Our teams always played your teams. You're open when other clubs wouldn't do it. And honestly, like, everyone has the same things to say about you. It's so annoying. I wish you were like a bit of a prick. Like, had an end. I want to know the backstory about Joe A. But Joe, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for the gear too. Love it. Yeah. Love it. It's really nice. Nike. Like, it's amazing, man.
Yeah, no, we definitely once if school kicks back on next year's season, we're definitely got to come and check out a game.
Guys, you're welcome to come. And even if you want to come and watch a training, you're more than welcome. And I want to thank you guys for having me on, and also for doing this. I mean, it's nice that you guys took that on for soccer in the city. We need more positive stuff with soccer in this city, in this beautiful town of ours. Yeah, so good work, guys. Hats off to you.
Thanks, Joey.
All right, thanks, man.
Of course, right, he has a good finish.
I know.
I'm better than Mark cleaning the fish.
Yeah, man. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, this is. Well, that was Joey Fournier. I mean, a lot to digest there. And I know he sounds like the salt of the earth soccer guy you want plunked in every club in the city? Just clone a human like that, Jay.
Look, like when I first came on the scene coaching, whatever, and like I came across Joe in different clubs, and I wanted to hate him. I want you know, like, you know, like in Ottawa, we have this stupid thing, this fake thing. I don't know what we have, and hopefully it dissipates somehow. But it's like Joe was always really nice, quality, class guy, always. Like, even up, like, obviously, even on the show, you can tell he's just pure class. He's so knowledgeable. He's open. He doesn't, I didn't even know half the stuff, and I've talked to him. So he I'm mad at him. They didn't tell me. Like, if I had some of his connections and everything, I'd be telling kids across the street, like, don't even care about soccer. Like, you know, I'm actually a scout. Like, he never told me those things because it just never came up, and he's not showy about it. The guy's, he's just so, I love him. He's just so open.
Yeah, salt of the earth is a great way to describe a market. It's so hard not to respect someone who's humble, and he definitely is. And I resonate, as which everybody does, for things they love with the passion. Like, it's, I don't know, that's another, like, can you teach leaders and captains? Can you teach passion? Like, probably not. And it comes across that passion, and you can tell that's why his program's a success, because he's got that passion. And you heard him say the first couple of years, we experimented with this, then we came up with our values. Then, like, all that stuff's why you have a solid foundation and a base for success. Like, just a really, really interesting guy. I'm glad we did that. And I hope that, I don't know if it can help him in any way, but I hope it does.
Yeah. I wanted to ask him, but I forgot to ask him. So Joe, call in now. He's not affiliated with any clubs, is he? Like, he doesn't, like, you feel like a guy like that would just be such a good TD at a club somewhere, you know? Like, and I know, I mean, he's probably doing much, seeing more kids this way and churning out great people this way, but I just, you know, I'd love to see him out there in the summers. And I mean, but
here's the thing though, he's living everyone's dream. That's why I want his job, is because he's doing it during the day. Yeah. So he gets the problem with coaching, and I know in Ottawa and probably everywhere in North America, is like, you're coaching after school hours, and so it's like, you know, people are coming home from work, you're going to work. So all those people who are working full time coaching in a club, like, it is a dream job, but at the same time, like, that's a big undertaking, and it's a heavy weight on your family. It's a big toll on the family life and everything. So it's like, Joe's living the dream. He's doing it during the day. He's wearing his track top all day coaching. And then he's teaching, which, you know, I love it. I'm sure he loves it too. And so he gets to do both, like, dream jobs for coaching, and like, oh man, like, he's just living the dream.
I just think too, like, I think of that school, and I think, soccer aside, let's throw soccer aside here. But like, I think to myself, why are, if they can do this and graduate kids into jobs and go to university and stuff, I mean, with the, I mean, I'm not going to get into this big debate, but like, with the obesity rate and the lack of exercise in North America, why isn't every single school giving this amount of physical education? I don't care if it's soccer or badminton or whatever. Why isn't this in every school in Canada?
I love that you brought this question up. This is so much better than the Skittles and the popcorn right now, which I want to talk about later, but like, yeah, no, it's like, it just proves to you. And I think the good thing from this pandemic is going to teach people, like, wait a minute, these kids are still going to university, but they didn't do as much, in class stuff, and they did quadmesters, and they missed like chunks, and they're going to school half time, and they still are okay. It's going to, and I saw this article, and it's like, basically it's going to teach us that, what the hell have we been doing for the last 50 years? Why haven't we progressed in our schools, and education hasn't changed? There's some people doing it on their own, like doing their own PD, and those people, and that's unfortunately the way we have to do it. But it's like, how are we not evolving? And hopefully this pandemic, the good thing that's going to come from it is, okay, guess what? We don't need to be in class 6 hours a day, and we don't need to be sitting down the whole time. These guys can be moving around for 2 hours of the day in a sport that they love. And we know that movement blood flow to the brain, brain activity is better. Like you actually, it helps you learn. So it's like, we know this, but we still haven't changed. Some people haven't changed it. I mean, Mark, you're bang on. I love that you asked that question.
Yeah, it's a great question, Mark. And I wanted to speak to, first of all, Jay, I'll just hammer home your point from my point of view. Like as a teenage boy or growing up, like whatever, if I moved in any way after recess, before recess, which is one of the reasons they're there, for sure I was more productive. For sure. And I can remember just being done at the end of like some 3-hour period of sitting through stuff. So like I feel like it's so obvious that it's stupid. It hasn't happened. And then the next thing, Joey started talking about it. And I thought he was going to go another way. He was talking about the girl who was in the all decade team and she was ready for the fitness pieces and the weights and stuff. But, you know, doesn't his program better prepare you for college and university? Like you're learning how to manage time. You're learning how to do different pieces of things. That girl's going in with that advantage. She already knows I have soccer at this time. I have school at that time. I have to do my homework at this time. I have my training for weights or whatever. I do my yoga at that. Whereas like, I remember going down the States and just being like, what the hell is happening? I cannot deal with this. I remember I was like, now I got to do some schoolwork. Are you kidding me? Like I had no idea how to handle my time that way. Like they're prepped. And yeah. And let's go even further with that. Take away the soccer piece and the soccer snobs. Like he said, the student who went to Queens and succeeded. Well, for sure, they learned core values and core lessons, organization skills, discipline, you know, how to manage that time. And that's like, there's so many positives to it. Like I'm with you, Mark. Like, why can't this be in the English schools?
Yeah. Well, I think Jay nailed it with just saying like, you're seeing it happen. Why isn't it happening? But it's like this in coaching. It's like this in teaching. It's like this everywhere. Nobody wants to change anything. It's the easiest thing to do is just stay the course, ride it out. Nobody wants to procreate change. It's just
dead fish. Only dead fish go with the flow. And that's the problem with the public boards and the English boards. Like it's just dead fish go with the flow. And it's like, you have to be brave and go for something, you know what I mean? And risk something just to go for getting in trouble.
Then when you talk about this, like I actually had to quite literally ask him, what are the negatives? Like I came up with some stereotypical ones on my head, but I started struggling after the one or two. So then it makes you think more to your point, Jay, like why wouldn't
only,
you? Like
why would negative? You? And I wanted to ask him, but my mic was off, was how much it actually was, because that could be a barrier. And
Yeah,
I wonder, I'm sure they do stuff for kids who can't afford it and stuff, knowing Joe, like.
Well, maybe there's another club if we raise extra money on our recent funding that we, you know. Maybe
Absolutely.
You just ruined my whole existence with that. That's fantastic. And I'm going to say this. This is another thought that popped in my head. Pop the bubble if I'm an idiot here. But schools went this model. Do clubs even need to really exist at that point? Like, if everybody's doing it during the day, you have a game after school, you go home and you have your family time. Like, could this dissolve the clubs? Or if not that fully, at least pull down the prices for the time and amount that you're going to need to be training with that club. So now things become more affordable because it's in your school. So maybe you only play one or two games or sessions a week with your club. Like, I think if you hit this in a school, I don't know if I'm going crazy, like a beautiful mind here. Like my room is like filled with letters and numbers, but like
the chalkboard behind you all of a sudden.
Yeah, wouldn't that make sense? Like it's what Jay said. You're living now. You're a soccer player or a baseball, whatever during the day. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's my childish mind going off.
I do love that. I think there is actually one English school that does it, and it's in Barrhaven, and it's called it's right. It's connected to the arena in Barrhaven.
This is good podcast material, right?
I know. God, someone's probably yelling it on while they're listening to this. But there is an English one, but I think it's more like fitness related, and they let you like sleep. There's a place where you can sleep because you've been training so hard or something, but. If somebody email us, chime in somehow on Instagram or something and let us know like what program that is. And if I'm totally butchering it, but it's not good enough, Mark, I think you're bang on. Like if we can just totally change, but that would take guts from like, and I work with teachers. There's teachers that are dinosaurs. They're stuck in the mindset that kids need to sit down, shut their mouths, sit in the desk, and a quiet class is a great class. And they're totally, they've lost their, because that's the way they were taught. It's like how people were, we've talked about this on a show, how you were coached and you do it to somebody else because that's how you're a coach. And it's like, well, it was okay for, you know, this group of kids, but it's not okay for everybody. So, I mean, we just, I love that. It's like utopia, Mark.
Mark, the whole time Jay was talking, I was in your Blackboard and I was connecting dots to make it work. Cause I just kept thinking like, I think you're right. I don't think it's a bubble to burst. And I'm just like, what could be all the things that someone would say to me? This is stupid because of this, this, and this. But could you imagine that? Just the day part, you know, like would the quality of just life even be better? Like, because then you go home, you have more free time, you have more of that play time, you have more of the like, you know, there could be recovery. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I got all the, now my mind is like, I got the hamster wheel going. Like it'll never happen, or it'll never happen for the foreseeable future. But just the idea that you threw out is an intriguing idea. Like absolutely intriguing.
Yeah.
Well, you get coaches coaching during the day. Like all the best coaches in the city coaching in schools. They're working during the day the same time as they're.
And they'd rather do that. That's a big thing when like we know a lot of people like that who have full-time coaching jobs and it's a drain on them. Like you said, Jay, you nailed that point 2000% correctly. Now, if they're going during the day, man, I don't know. Yeah. It's even a drain on
parents. If you're not a coach and you're a mom and a dad or a mom and a whatever, and it's like before COVID hit, I swear to God, after school, Keen, get in there, Ryan, eat this banana quick. We're going in the car. You gotta go, come on. And then everyone's mad at each other. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're laying in bed and you're like, oh, okay, well, it's like, oh my God, like relax there. You know what I mean? Like
we just talked about it. We just talked about it going back in like the 16th of February or whatever. And I was like, okay, Liam's this, this, and this. Owen's this, this, and this. And it was exactly like you said. All of a sudden, Lisa's like, well, you can't go on that, Dan. I'm like, I have to. Like, we're just like, she's like, I'm react. I'm like, no, you don't. It was just mental.
And then you go on a vacation with your family. And it's amazing because you're there for like a week or two if you're lucky. And then you have this whole family time. And then the other 50 weeks of the year, you're like doing what Mark's, but it's like, what are we doing? Is that how we live? Like, Mark, I think you're onto something. I want you to like patent it. So I want you to get credit, like 2% every time a school does it. So you get like,
I do too. Genius. You get some sort of grant for this, Mark, that just comes to you like percentage by percentage.
Yeah. I'll wait first. I'm going to wait for my Mark Dos Santos check for getting O'Brien Woodbine signed there when I was promised some money. I'll wait for that first and then I'll get the other thing. I'm still waiting on that. If Mark, you're listening, I moved. So let me know if you need my new address. Is flossing in your car really gross?
100% is disgusting. At a stop sign, are you what? You're doing it while you're at school, before you get into the school or whatever. What?
No, like when you're driving.
No, don't floss when you're driving. Stupid.
Come on, man.
Stupid. The best is Jay gagged. And the only way that it's 3% acceptable is if it's like a pick, not like you can't have the spring like that.
Yeah, imagine.
You know? Like you've wrapped it around, you're like, no, you have to have a pick. And no, it's stupid. Stop asking these questions.
If your neighbor has an outdoor rink they made in the winter, snow melts, spring comes, three pucks are in your backyard. Are they your pucks? No.
So good. Well, for me, you know my answers. Like, I'm giving them back for sure. Steve?
So it's such a good question because like I want to say, yeah, for sure I give it back. Like, because my neighbor, we used to have no fence and Owen must have put like 67 pucks in their backyard. And we got them all back. He's the nicest human ever. Like if he's listening, like he gave each one individually, like wrapped back to me. Like it was unbelievable. But like if he shot them back now, like, cause his kids are older, I'd kind of be like, hey Owen, like here's some pucks. I don't know what's terrible. I'm just being honest.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you that. If you had to play one of these games for 10 hours straight, what would you choose? Tic-tac-toe or go fish? 10 hours.
10 hours?
Yeah.
Tic-tac-toe.
That's hard. I played Go Fish with like nieces that are four, and it's the worst for like 4 minutes. And tic-tac, I have to go tic-tac-toe, but even tic-tac-toe, like after three times, I'm angry.
Yeah, that's where I was. My original thought was tic-tac-toe for sure. But then I'm like you said, after a couple, like at least Go Fish, it's like
lasts a bit longer.
Yeah. But I've also been there, Steve. You try and be like, when you're younger, like, you try and be like the cool, I can relate to kids. I'll play. And then like 40 seconds in, you're like, I want to blow my head off right now. Like,
my niece Katie, I love her to death. And she's like going in university now, but she would cheat. And I was trying to be nice because I was new on the scene. Like you said, I wanted to kill her. I was like, you're cheating so bad. I was angry at her.
So you're golfing, you're teeing off. Okay. And the worst nightmare happens when you're teeing off. The group behind you pulls up. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of people watching you now tee off.
It's the worst feeling ever.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Like the gallery is like the ultimate worst situation. Now you get up, you spank one just, and it just flubs into the ground like 8 meters to the left. Is it head down and walk to your ball, or do you acknowledge the gallery and make some like joke?
I throw my club. I give them a show. I give them a show, and I let them like enjoy it. I just take it so far that they're like, "Oh, what a guy!" For sure, I throw my club.
That's genius. I can't one up it. I just do like like I say like, "Oh, what a shot!" And I moonwalk into my cart.
Yeah. You're in grave danger. An entire drug cartel is after you.
Come on.
Who do you choose as your bodyguard? Van Damme or Jackie Chan?
Oh, my God. Jackie Chan. Just because I've just seen too many recent shows with Van Damme, and he's
we lost you here, Jay. You got to speak up.
He said Jackie Chan, and I would agree with Jackie Chan. I'll give you my logic.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Because Jackie Chan, like, he uses props. So, like, whatever's around him, he uses them in his fight. So wherever I'm being chased, I feel like he's more resourceful.
That's the perfect answer. That's good. Yeah, you can't. Okay, I'm going to hit you with two quick ones more. Do you have a protective case around your phone?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that's like an actual like life question. Cause I lost mine for a while, and it's, you feel very vulnerable. Like I don't even want to pick up the phone. It's terrifying.
How did you lose it? Why did you take it off?
I dropped it in some water and I took it off really quickly and I cracked it. I don't know how to put it back on. Last question. Would you rather eat 2 baby wipes or 15 Kleenex?
Oh my God, that's disgusting. I remember seeing a documentary or something like this girl eating Kleenex and she got really sick. Like she got, this is 2 baby wipes.
2 baby wipes just out of the package?
Out of the package, yeah.
And 15 Kleenex out of the package.
Yeah.
I need to know first. I know I always ask, I need to know how this, like the eating part of this question came to it. Like you saw baby, how did you see baby wipes? You don't have any small baby.
Honestly, it was just one of those things. Like this show, I was struggling to come up with things. And I'm just like, you know, you're watching TV and you see a commercial and you're like, all right, let's
clean up. Kleenex. I feel like the baby wipes will have like some sort of like stuff in it that'll make me sick. I'm sure the Kleenex might potentially make me sick, but I feel like it's paper. I could do that.
Yeah.
I think the baby wipes, because they're wet and it's easier to, I think I just do baby wipes. I don't know why Kleenex, I can't do it. It's a block for me.
All right. Well, that's that answer. That's all I got. So we'll wrap this Joey Fournier episode up. Yeah.
No way hopefully I'm calling him Joey. There's no way I'm calling him Joey. I'm saying Joe from now on, and it's his fault because he never corrected me in the first like 3 years that I've known him.
Yeah, it's a tough one to say, but I'm gonna have to stick with Joe. All right. Well, that's that for us, guys. Clean your fish tanks, wash your face, and drink a cup of water. When you wake up in the morning, before anything, drink 2 cups of water. You'll feel amazing. Do that.
Thanks very much for listening today. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast and, of course, leave us a 5-star review. If you want to get in touch, you'll find us on Instagram at SoccerSnob1, on Twitter at SoccerSnobs1, by searching for us on Facebook, and of course on the web at www.soccersnobs.ca/listen. You can leave us your opinion, give us any comments, and if that's where you want to get nasty, feel free to do so.